Hi listeners, we are still continuing on in building up of the body of Christ and bringing the body of Christ into the place of maturity so that God can fulfill his plans and his purposes through each member of the body of Christ so that he can finish his work before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a great work that we have and there is a great harvest that is out there that God is going to bring in before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, he's preparing the body of Christ to come into that place of maturity. God wants each believer to take heed in what the Spirit is saying so that they can put themselves in a place of submission and surrender to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God so that God can bring them to the place of maturity. Until each person totally surrenders their lives and submit to God's word, the Spirit of God will not bring them to that place of maturity. And it is the responsibility of each person to come into that place, to give yourself as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. Each person in the body of Christ, as they choose to step into the arena of total obedience and submission to God's will and his purposes, God will bring them to the place of maturity in Christ. So each member of the body of Christ can reflect his glory, can reflect his nature, his character, his power, his authority, his wisdom, and his works to this world. And God is speaking to the body to stir up their pure minds so they no longer will be complacent. The body of Christ, to the most part, has been complacent, and some have been lukewarm, and many have not taken their walk of faith seriously. Therefore, they have not grown into Christ, they have not grown in their faith, and as a result, they have remained as infants. Now, if you are a born-again believer, God wants you to rise up and to put on the whole armor of God and to step into the realm of faith and love and his wisdom so that he can build you up in the inner man so you can be everything that God has created you and saved you to be. And God is preparing the church for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit as we give ourselves as living sacrifices to him. He will begin to pour his Spirit into us and raise us up into those realms of his glory, into those realms of faith, into those realms of walking in his love and walking in his wisdom and his power and his authority. Now, as we go into the scriptures, we have been looking into the scriptures in the past few messages in how the body ought to function. We are a body. And in that body, each member is a vital part. Each member has a unique function. Now, God wants us to get hold of the revelation in how this body ought to function in the way that he meant the body to function, so that each member can be fitted into that body in the way that God intended, so that each member, fulfilling their part, fulfilling their function, caused the body to grow up into Christ. Each member has a part to play so that the body can grow up into Christ. And God wants us to get hold of this revelation and to be able to step into that arena of faith and operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that Holy Spirit is releasing to the members so that each member can be everything that God intended them to be. So as we go to the scriptures, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 12, starting from verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each member is a part of the body of Christ. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Now here God is giving the church a picture of how it should look like. In each local assembly, we should see these giftings, these offices in operation, it says, and in the church God has appointed first of all apostles. Now in this he is naming the officers in the rank of authority. First of all, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. We should see the ministry of the apostles, the ministry of the prophets. We should see the ministry of the teachers. Then he's moving on to those that have other gifts. Then workers of miracles. Workers of miracles. Now, these people that have the gift of miracles is not necessarily in these offices that we mentioned. He mentioned three offices in its rank of authority, and then he moves on because the gifts are given to the rest of the body. And also those having gifts of healing, those members of the body of Christ that have received the gift of healing, and those who are able to help others, those who are with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Now, in here we see, along with the office of the apostle, office of the prophet, office of the teachers, we are seeing the other members of the body of Christ that have these gifts operating together to minister God's grace in the church. Now, when we look at the body of Christ at large, do we see this in the body to the most part? Is this the way the body operates at the present time? No, we don't see this. We rarely see the office of the apostle or the prophet. Now, we see the office of the teachers quite often, but the office of the apostle and the prophets, to the most part, has disappeared from the body of Christ. And then we don't see the gifts of working of miracles to the most part in the body of Christ, or gifts of healing, or speaking in tongues. And some of these gifts that he mentions in Romans 12 and other gifts that are in 1 Corinthians 12. We can read that starting from verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12:7. You can read the gifts of the Spirit that he's mentioned, and also in Romans chapter 12, starting from verse 5. And what has happened in the body of Christ is the office of the pastors has been elevated above all these offices and all these workings of gifts of the Spirit. And therefore, all we see is in the body of Christ, to the most part, the office of the pastors. And they are controlling and they are trying to build up the body of Christ and trying to lead the flock without the help of the other officers. Now, in some segments of the body of Christ, you will see the pastor's office working alongside with some of these officers that we mentioned, with the office of the apostle, the prophet, and the teachers. But to the most part, what you see in the body of Christ is the office of the pastor trying to do everything and try to lead the flock without the help of the other officers and without the help of the other giftings that we just read. They have completely eliminated the officers from their assemblies. They have completely eliminated the gifts from their assemblies. So what these shepherds are doing, they are leading the flock by their own methods, the way they think what is best for the flock. Now, God has already given these officers and these gifts to the body of Christ so that the body can function in the way they are supposed to. But if one office is elevated more than all the other officers, and that particular office is not even in the line of his authority, because we see the first apostles, the second the prophets, the third the teachers. And if the pastor's office has taken precedent over all of these officers and all of the other giftings of the rest of the body of Christ, and they are trying to lead the flock, they are going to miss what God wants to do in their midst, because they were never supposed to do that. They were supposed to be the overseers of the flock, to lead the flock, to nurture the flock, to channel the flock in the direction of their giftings and their callings. But rather than that, what has happened in the body of Christ to the most part is the pastor's office makes all of the decisions for how the body should operate. They have programs, they have activities, all kinds of things that man has come up with his own wisdom and try to make the church look like what it's supposed to be, rather than following the scriptures and letting the scriptures speak and following the scriptures so that we can fall in line with the plan that God has for the church, not what man has for the church. What you see in the body of Christ, to the most part, is man's plans, man's agendas for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason the church has remained as infants. Man doesn't have the wisdom or the plans that Jesus has for the church. Man has to follow the plan of the great shepherd, Jesus, so we can know how to lead his body. Jesus is the head of the church. He has the plan. He has the blueprint for the body of Christ. He has the plan and the blueprint for each and every member, where each and every member should fit in. He knows exactly what kind of gifts to give to each member, so each member can fulfill their function in the body. But if man takes it over and try to rule it and to try to control it and manipulate it the way they think it should go, we are going to miss everything that God has for the church. And that's the reason we see the body of Christ the way they are, because it is run by man-made plans and man-made programs to the most part. And God is trying to renew our pure minds so that we can come back to the scriptures, so that we can follow the direction of the scriptures in what God wants us to do in the body of Christ. It has to be done in God's way. God is not going to put his blessings on something that he has not intended or planned or decreed. He will only bless those plans that he has for the body of Christ. That's the reason we need to go into the scriptures and to see how the body should operate. And if we begin to put ourselves according to these scriptures and begin to move in the direction how the scriptures are directing us, when we do, we will begin to see God begin to manifest in the midst of his people. We will see gifts of healing. We will see gifts of working on miracles. We will see prophecy. We will see all these things that God wants to release to the body of Christ in these end times, so that the body of Christ can mature and grow up into Christ. We will see all these things as we come in line in what the scriptures are saying to the body. So God wants the leaders and the rest of the body of Christ to take heed to what the scriptures are saying. They have these ideas and concepts in the body of Christ. When a person is called of God, they go to a theological seminary or Bible school. And most of the time, those seminaries and Bible schools, their emphasis on the office of the pastors, but they don't have the understanding to all of the offices in the body of Christ, because most of the segments of the body of Christ doesn't even speak of any other office other than the pastor's office, and that's what they have seen. So when a person feels a calling, they think it is into the office of the pastor. So they go to a seminary or a theological school or a Bible school, and they get a training. And in those schools where they are trained, they are directed into the office of the pastors, to the most part. And some are not called into that office at all. And you can see that in this, because true shepherds will have the heart of the shepherd. And true shepherds will lay themselves down for their flock, because they love their flock. And they will sacrifice for their flock. And they will lay themselves down for their flock in serving the flock. But many times that we don't see that kind of qualities in some of those that are called into the pastor's office. Why? Because they were never called into that office. They were called into probably another office, or they may even be called into just another gift, maybe to a gift of administration or a gift of helps. Because of a lack of knowledge, they felt like that was the only office that they can serve in the body of Christ. They may have been called into office of teacher or office of administrator. A lot of times, many of them are good in the administration. They're good at that. They have the gift of administration, and they can take care of the business part of the church. But they don't have the heart of the shepherd, because they were never called to that. They have a gift of administration. In that case, they need to operate in that gift. It's a gift. It's an important gift. But no one should go beyond their gifting or their calling and to be in a place that they shouldn't be. Because when you do, then it is hindering the flock from growing into their place in Christ. Because a person that is not truly called to that office cannot build up the flock. Let's say a person takes up the office of a pastor and they're never called to that office. How do you think that pastor could bring the body of Christ and build up the body of Christ to that place? He can't, because they were never called. Now, this is an example of what is happening in the body of Christ. Because they have eliminated so many offices and so many giftings and just elevated one office in the body of Christ, and that's all we see to the most part, except probably for the office of the teacher. And then in few places you will see the office of the evangelist. But even at that, the pastors, a lot of times they won't even work with these people. Whenever the body comes together, all you see is the pastor's office. That one pastor always trying to teach and to build up the body. How can that one person do that? When the body of Christ has been given all the other offices and the other giftings. We have to come to this place of understanding that we have to allow these scriptures to renew our minds and to bring us to a place that the body of Christ will have freedom to receive from every office what God has to release through each and every office, and then through the other giftings of other members of the body of Christ. There is no freedom to the most part in the body of Christ, because everything is so controlled and kept by the pastor's office. Whatever the pastor wants in the church is all that the flock will receive. And whatever he has no interest for the flock to experience and the flock to receive, any giftings or any other offices that are in the body of Christ, they will keep the flock from receiving it. And they keep everything the way they want it to run in the church. It may seem like the body is functioning well, and it may have a appearance. The church may have an appearance of success, appearance of the believers doing well. But in reality, they are not growing into Christ. In reality, they are remaining as infants. They have a good appearance of a religious structure. The church needs to have a structure. But if it's all that they have, and they are missing out on all of these gifts and all of these other offices, all the church has is a good religious structure and it looks good to the outside and they have a good programs going on, yet they are remaining as infants, the church has not accomplished what they're supposed to accomplish. Now let's go back into the scriptures, and I'm going to read from verse 29. This is 1 Corinthians 12:29. It says, "Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. In the body, we are to eagerly desire greater gifts. Now, if the body of Christ is instructed to eagerly desire the greater gifts, and then when God begins to give the greater gifts to the body of Christ, that means they have to have an opportunity to use those gifts in the body. What point is it for God to give the gifts and they are not allowed to operate? What's the point in God giving those gifts? And that's the reason you don't see the gifts in the body of Christ, because they don't have the freedom to operate. Because it's all man's works. And whenever there's man's work, it's being controlled by man's desires and their own plans and their own agendas. But when we begin to walk in the Spirit and we are led of the Holy Spirit, let's say, for example, the shepherds of the flock, each shepherd being led of the Holy Spirit, they have crucified their flesh. They have died to pride. They have died to selfish ambition. They have died to their carnal ways. And they have given themselves to be true shepherds of the flock of God. And they are willing to sacrifice. They are willing to lay themselves down for their flock. And they want their flock to mature and grow up in Christ. And they are seeking God on behalf of the flock, and they are preaching and teaching these truths to the flock so they can get the vision of God in their own hearts. And they begin to desire greater gifts. They begin to desire spiritual gifts. And when they receive those gifts, as God will answer their prayers and the prayers of the shepherds. When those shepherds walk in the Spirit, they're not going to have any problem letting the flock, letting their members to operate in those gifts and grow in those gifts and operate in those gifts and function in those gifts so that the whole body could be blessed and edified and grow up into Christ. The reason we have not seen this in the body of Christ is because of the selfishness, the selfish ambition in the office of the pastors. When a shepherd is secure in their own relationship in Christ, and they know who they are in Christ, then they will want their flock to come into that place of knowing who they are in Christ, and to grow up into Christ, and to know their giftings and callings, and to be able to operate. Shepherds that are led of the Holy Spirit, they will teach their flock to eagerly desire the gifts, and they will allow them to operate in those gifts. Now, let's continue on in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So we are to follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit keeps repeating, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. In that case, the shepherds of the flock need to teach concerning the gifts. And they need to encourage the members to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. First, they need to teach what they are. Then they need to encourage them to eagerly desire. When they are taught to eagerly desire, they will eagerly desire. If you discourage them, if you don't teach them about the gifts, they are not going to know and they are not going to eagerly desire. It's in the Word. Therefore, it is your responsibility to teach them the truth. Doesn't matter what your theology has taught you in your Bible school. It doesn't matter what your own concept and the doctrines that you have been taught. It's what the Bible says, it's what the Word says is what you need to pay attention. What you should put your faith in and be directed. So you can direct your flock in the right path. In the path that God wants them to go. You have a responsibility. And those shepherds that do not take heed will someday will have to answer to God for neglecting the scriptures, not building up their flock to come to the place that God wanted them to be. Now, let's continue on in this chapter 14. Going back to this verse, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, why would the Holy Spirit emphasize on the gift of prophecy? He's not saying all the other gifts are not important. Yes, they are. Every gift that God has to give to the body of Christ is important and is necessary and vital for the well-being of the body of Christ. When God releases the gift to the body of Christ, there is a perfect harmony and it will be in balance. Holy Spirit is the one who knows how to release the gifts to different members, so there is perfect harmony and there is perfect balance in the body of Christ. But there is emphasis on the gift of prophecy. And the reason is, it says in verse 3, "But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, their encouragement, and their comfort." So this gift of prophecy is so essential for the body of Christ because the person that operates in that gift is strengthening and encouraging, the comforting the body of Christ. This is so necessary in the times that we live in. We need the gift of prophecy to operate in the body of Christ in freedom. Gift of prophecy is not only given to the prophets. Prophets will have the gift of prophecy that goes along with their calling. But it is not only limited to the prophets alone. This gift is for all the members of the body of Christ. Whoever desires, God will give that, because that's the reason he says, eagerly desire. If you desire for the gifts, he will give you. If you desire for the gift of prophecy, he will give you that. But the shepherds need to allow the members that have this gift to operate so they can strengthen the body, they can encourage the body, and they can comfort the body. We need this in the body of Christ. And going down to verse 12, it says, "Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church." Try to excel in gifts that build up the church. God wants us to excel in gifts that build up the church. Hold your place here and let's go to Acts 2:17 and 18. It says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." God has poured his spirit upon the church. And in that case, why don't we see the gift of prophecy in operation and all of the other gifts that we see in the scriptures? The reason is, man is controlling what they want in the church and what they don't want. Whatever they want is all they're going to allow the body of Christ to have. Whatever they don't want, they're not going to allow it to be seen or heard or taught in the body of Christ. And this is the condition of the body of Christ to the most part. God is speaking to the body to get into the scriptures, pay attention to what the scriptures are saying, so you can grow up. God wants the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to grow up. It has been in an infant stage for too long. The time is coming. The church has to grow up. The church has to mature. The church has to function in the way that God wants the church to function. As long as we are controlled by man-made theologies and doctrines and man's agendas for the church rather than God's plan for the church, we are going to stay in the same place the church has been for all these years. But God wants to bring the church to a place of fullness of Christ, so he can display the glory of the risen Christ through the church. So let's continue on. The speech is saying that we are to excel in gifts that build up the church. Whatever the gifts that you see is going to build up the church, you can desire for it. You are to desire. You are to excel. And if you are a shepherd, you need to allow those gifts to operate in your church. God is not going to give you all the gifts So you can be the only person that is going to be operating in those gifts. It is a body. God will give you some gifts, but then the rest of the gifts will be given to the members of your flock. And those sheep should have the freedom to operate, should have the freedom to function in their gifts. Many times you see in the church, these gifts are not taught. And so they will find places for their flock to do something around the church in whatever the programs they have around the church. So as a result, we are not seeing much of these gifts evaporating. Some people in your flock may be called to teach. In that case, you need to allow them to teach. Now, many times you will see a person that may be called to teach, and because the shepherd doesn't want them to teach, what they will do is they will find another place in the church for that person to function. Now, that person has not been called to that place that the pastor wants to direct him. They have a calling and they have a gift to teach. It's like telling your ear to be a foot. And so what they will do is they will find that person some place in the body of Christ to function, even though that God has not called that person to function in that capacity, in that place. If God has given them the gift of teaching, then they are to teach. Then they are to be given places to teach in the church. It's the shepherd's responsibility to channel them and to know where they are supposed to teach. Many times you will see in churches, there are a few teachers teaching the flock for 30 years, and the people that are sitting in those classes, they have been sitting for 30 years and they have not grown up to anything. Some of them ought to be teaching by then, but nobody is doing anything. Why? Because they are not allowed to do anything. It's all control. There's no freedom. It's a religious setup. That's not the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they recognize the importance of each member, and they recognize their giftings from God and allows each person to operate in those giftings so that they can be a blessing, so that the entire body could be built up. That is the true Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue on in chapter 14, verse 26. Now, this is speaking of the order of worship when people come together in the local assemblies. It says, "What then shall we say, brothers, when you come together?" When you come together, this is the body of Christ. When you come together, everyone has a hymn. Everyone has a hymn. Or a word of instruction, of revelation, a tongue, or interpretation of tongue. All this must be done for the strengthening of the church. Now, this is a picture of what it should be when we come together. But the modern day church, when we come together, all we see is the choir or the musicians leading in worship. Well, that is fine. But in the scriptures it says, when you come together, everyone has a hymn. Everyone has a hymn. That means God is going to give those new songs to the believers, to his children, so they can sing those in the presence of the Lord and the presence of his people, those new songs in worship to God. And as a result, the body is encouraged and blessed as they see God pour his spirit in a new way to the believers. This is true worship. Jesus said that those that worship the Father must worship in spirit and in truth. That is a part of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. When God releases those hymns, those spiritual songs into the hearts of the believers, and they come together and they, in unison, they sing and they joyfully share what God has given. There's nothing wrong with music ministry, but the music ministry ought to have these also incorporated into the music ministry. There's nothing wrong in having a music ministry, but if the music ministry is the only thing that is going to be used in worship of God, that's not the way God intended it. God is going to, when everyone comes, God is going to give the believers hymns and new songs to worship God. And so if there's a music ministry, then there should be these things to be able to be shared in the time of worship. This is true spiritual worship. It says everyone has a hymn. Everyone has a hymn. It didn't say someone. It says everyone has a hymn. So that means that God wants to release to the body of Christ hymns and songs and spiritual songs into their hearts. So when they come together, they can worship God in spirit and in truth. This is pure worship going from the heart of the believers to the throne of God. This is true worship. And how many times you see this in the church? You hardly see this kind of worship in the church. And then he says, or a word of instruction, or word of instruction, that is teaching. For some person, God may give a word of instruction when they come together. So we are seeing hymns and speechless songs being released into their hearts as worship. And then God will instruct the people through the gift of teaching, word of instruction, gift of teaching. The person that operates in the gift of teaching will have a word of instruction. It is not necessarily the pastor. It could be one of the members of the body that has the gift of teaching. A revelation. This is a gift of prophecy. It means God is revealing his hidden wisdom. When God reveals his hidden wisdom, those mysteries, as he releases it to build up the body of Christ, a revelation to the scriptures, a revelation so that the body can be built up. These are different members operating in these gifts. There's no way it says only a pastor has all this. No. And different people are being used in that assembly. A tongue or an interpretation of tongue. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. All of these things must be done for the strengthening of the church. So when we come together, the body need to be allowed to operate in this fashion so that the body could be strengthened. The church could be strengthened. Since we don't see these things in the church, that's the reason the church is weak. Many believers are not strong in the Lord and the power of his might. They are not strong in their faith. Why? Because these things are missing from the church. Church is not operating in the way that they are supposed to. And as a result, the body has been kept weak. And then continue on, it says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. This is the gift of tongues. God speaks through gift of tongues, and then he says two or three can speak in tongues, and then one must interpret. Because what is spoken in a tongue has to be interpreted for the church to be built up. So those that have the gift of tongues, they can speak one at a time, and then the one that has the gift of interpretation can interpret so that the entire body can understand and be built up. Now all these things should be seen in a church. This is the way that God intended the church to be. Verse 28, if there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. If you don't have a person that has the gift of interpretation, then those that are speaking in tongues, they need to speak to themselves rather than giving the messages out if there isn't the gift of interpretation. Now, you can pray for the gift of interpretation. If you are a person that you speak in tongues, you can also ask for the gift of interpretation so that you can interpret the messages so that the body can be edified. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Two or three prophets should speak. That means there should be the office of the prophet present at the local assemblies. In the first century church, you saw the office of the apostle, office of the prophet, office of the teachers present, along with the rest of the gifts. It said two or three prophets should speak. That means there's more than one prophet present. That means in the local bodies, you should see the office of the prophets. There ought to be the ministry of the prophets. Because it says two or three prophets should speak. God will raise up prophets from within the body. God will raise up teachers from within the body. God will raise up shepherds from within the body. That's the way it was in the first century church. In the first century church, they didn't have trained pastors from theological schools. There were no theological schools or Bible schools in the first century church. Who were the elders? Who were the shepherds? Who were the bishops of the flock? Those that came from within the body. In those local churches. And Paul gave the standard for how to select the leaders in the book of Timothy and book of Titus. He gives the criteria for the elders, for the bishops or the elders of the church, so that they can elect people from within their church to be the shepherds of the flock. They came from within their flock. Say, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. This shows the submission in which we should operate and function in the body. It says, while the first speaker is speaking or prophesying, a revelation comes to another person, then the first speaker should stop and give way to the other speaker. That shows the humility and the submission in which we should operate in the body of Christ. Submission, humility, and harmony. When we are led of the Holy Spirit, we will begin to see those things in the church. We will see humility. We will see submission. So each person can operate and function in their giftings the way God wants to, and they will have the freedom to function. Nobody is limiting them. Nobody is restricting them. There's freedom to operate. God does not want any shepherd or any leader or anyone in the body of Christ to restrict another person in the body of Christ that God has given the giftings to bless the body. So God wants to make sure that each person will have the freedom to operate in the way that God planned them to operate. Verse 31, for you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Again, gift of prophecy. He's saying, so you can all prophesy. Everybody that has the gift of prophecy has the freedom to operate in that local body so that the body in turn may be instructed and encouraged. Instructed and encouraged through the gift of prophecy. The speech of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As we are led of the Holy Spirit and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and as we walk in submission and in humility, and as we desire for the spiritual gifts and receive those gifts and begin to operate in those gifts to build up the body of Christ in love, we will see the body operating in perfect order and in peace. Many times in the churches, they don't want these gifts to operate because they feel like it's going to cause confusion. If you are led of the Holy Spirit, there's not going to be any confusion. If you teach the people to walk in the Spirit, if you teach the people to walk in love, if you teach the people how to walk in submission one to another and in harmony one to another, and be led of the Holy Spirit, everything will be done in order and in peace. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in control. When man is in control, there will be confusion, there will be disorder. But when the Holy Spirit is in control, there will be order and there will be peace. And everything will be done to strengthening the body of Christ. So there is no reason for those shepherds to be fearful and thinking they are going to lose control. But if you are in control and the Holy Spirit is not in control, sure, then you need to be fearful because you will lose control. Because it's man's work and you are trying to control everything. But if you lay yourself down and learn how to walk in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit take over and control everything that goes on in your church, in your assembly, then you will not have to concern yourself with disorder in the church. Because the Holy Spirit is in control. When He's in control, He will keep everything in order and in peace. God wants the shepherds of the flock to pay attention to what the scriptures are saying. It is time for the church to step into the arena of God's presence, His glory, and the manifestation of His presence in the church so that outsiders will know that we serve the living God, the living Christ. God is calling the leaders and the believers to grow up and learn how to be led of the Holy Spirit and be controlled by the Holy Spirit and take heed to what the Word is saying, so God can raise up the church to the place He wants it to be. God has a great plan and a purpose and a destiny for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is calling the church to pay attention to what the Spirit is saying through the Scriptures and submit to the Scriptures and to His Spirit so that He can accomplish everything He has planned for His body.